Happy Mother's Day to all the women out there, the mother types, the mother figures. Just thank you for all that you do and how you pour in to so many. And I hope this is a good day for you and you are blessed. I hope you've already been blessed by the worship. What an amazing time of worship from our worship team. Thank you, Chuck, for being here and sharing your heart for missions. And so today I just want to encourage all the women in the room, in the sanctuary today, that today is Mother's Day. And I recognize that today can be an amazing day. And that's my hope and prayer for you all. But I also recognize that Mother's Day can be tough. But I want to encourage you and speak to you. And I believe God's given me a word to share. At the 8 o'clock prayer meeting this morning, there was a lot of prayer that was aligning with what I was preparing. I don't think they had any idea what I was saying. Paul Collier came up and just mentioned to me that he felt God was saying this, and I'm like, that's exactly what I'm speaking on. And so I just want to share with you this morning, as we go forward this morning, ladies, I just want to encourage you to think about how God looks at you and has given you purpose. And I just want to encourage you in that this morning. So as we go into this morning, and Genesis chapter 1, this big picture of humanity where God created everything, and it starts like this, and it says Genesis 1:27, and it'll be on the screen right there. It says, God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so we have this, it starts at the very beginning. It starts at the very beginning where God's creation, and it goes forth, and it conceives this idea, and he gives birth, and he begins to nurture it. It starts in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1. And we see that he created man and woman, two parts of the same whole, the distinct in role and function, but also equal in significance and value. And so Genesis 2, we go a little bit further. It gives us a more intimate and personal account of how God sees us as humans. It tells that Adam was formed first, and then when it was obvious that man could not function on his own without a distinct helper, but equal counterpart, God formed Eve from the part of man's side. And one of the biblical words for side is rib. When you look at that word, it says rib, that God took that rib. But it's better understood as side if we just think about that word side. Everywhere else in the Old Testament, we see that word. It's used as the word side. And we see that we think about what's the side. It's the supporting structural elements, something that upholds and strengthens whose absence would lead to a structural failure. And I know a lot of these older churches, you can see up above us, they're meant to be like these structural ribs that hold and support the building of the church and the roof. And it's kind of a callback to how God created woman. It's, you think of that, this supporting structural element that we need. And so women are not just a piece of man, but the structural element necessary to support and develop society. I hope you hear that this morning. Without woman, man has no suitable helper. And without a suitable helper, society and the world, humanity, can never be developed and realized its fullest potential without women. And so nevertheless, a lot of people, when they think about the creation account, they believe that somehow this gives woman a secondary status, and because Eden was formed second. And I want to say that's the furthest thing from the truth. That's not true. However, when you look at this, Eve wasn't just formed second, she was formed last. And think about this, woman, the creation of woman is the capstone, is the crowning achievement of God's creation. Say amen if you're with me. Amen, absolutely. The capstone and the crowning achievement of God's creation. And so God sees this and he creates woman. And that was like the culmination of everything that he saw in humanity, that we find our completeness in God, but he introduces woman into the creation order. And so what history called secondary, God calls the ultimate. God calls the culmination, the zenith, the pinnacle of all creation. And so I want you to think of that this morning, no matter what you brought in here this morning, whatever you think about Mother's Day, I want you to know this, that God sees you ladies as the pinnacle of creation, the capstone of creation, of worth, dignity, and respect. And that's how he sees you. And I know some of you might even struggle with that this morning, but I want to give you hope that as we hear this message, think about how God sees you and how he wants you to live out and carry out that message into the world. We need you. We need you, that all that you're created to be, that all you are, God has created you for a purpose. And so when we think about this big idea, we think about the idea when woman was formed by God, she was endowed with unique abilities that only she possessed to conceive, to give birth, to nature, and to nurture whatever that is. It's humans, it could be family, it could be the earth, whatever that is. And so now I realize this, as we said this earlier, that there are women here who have naturally struggled with one of these areas. Maybe it's you're wanting to be a mother and it's just been difficult. Maybe you're missing your mom this morning. Maybe you had a difficult relationship with your mom. And maybe even how you've looked at your kids and how you've raised your kids, and it's been difficult there. So maybe you feel that this is the thing, and I think men struggle with this too, but ladies, I've heard it as a pastor that you feel like you're not enough. And that's a struggle that we have, and that's kind of the tension that we feel with Mother's Day. But here's the thing. None of these things make you less of a woman. If you feel this way or you think this way, sometimes we all have these tensions that we wrestle with, but God doesn't look at you that way. God looks at you with this spiritual super reality that he created you with these amazing abilities that only you can have and choose and to do to live out in the world. But the creation led to this fall in Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3 was the advent of sin through Adam's disobedience, which brought sin into the world, where women and men struggled to live out this divine calling, this divine initiative on their lives. That they were created in God's image to do the things that God created them to do, but sin entered that picture. But even sin's perverting power can't override. It cannot override the inherent nature and the makeup of woman. God sees you as the capstone and crowning achievement in his creation. I hope you hear that. So even if you struggle to conceive naturally, you are still able to conceive unrealized possibilities of a thing and turn it into something special. Even if you struggle to bring a child to term, you can still be able to, through a sheer force of will, an indomitable spirit, to push something new and life-giving into the world. And even if you feel like you struggle to be cared for or nurture your family, we all felt like that. I feel like that as a dad. I know Mel and I talked about that. We feel like that. But sometimes when we struggle naturally, you are still empowered, ladies, to by God to conceive, to birth, to nature, and to nourish. And it's one of the greatest things that God has blessed you with to be able to do. So what I love about this is that when we think about that first point, as we think about what does it mean to conceive, well, to define this is simply this. Conception is this, to conceive. What does it mean to conceive? It's the ability to receive something and develop it in a way that produces something new. You think about the ideas and plans and innovation. These are the things that are conceived and brought forth and make the world a better place because of you. And so conception is that ability to take the inert and otherwise lifeless material and turn it into something that brings forth life into the world. And so women can make much out of little, in good ways or bad. I remember when I was growing up, my mom would be able to take just like whatever we had in the kitchen and she could turn it into some meal. Even this morning, Donna Paladin, was hospitality team, turned this little thing in this amazing spread. It looked like we were in a hotel. It was amazing what she did. It's another example of taking something little and bringing a life to it. Women can take a sliver of confidence in a child or their spouse or a friend and turn it into encouragement that can make them world changers. They can take two nickels and rub them together and produce lunch money and rent money and pay their bills and car payments and so on and so forth. The resiliency of women is amazing. Women have that ability to turn potential into something that has purpose and it's prominent in life. The great inventor, Thomas Edison, are you familiar with Thomas Edison? If you're not, I'll share with you some of his achievements. He was the inventor over 1,000 things in different times and patents, specifically the light bulb. He invented the light bulb. He invented recorded sound, motion pictures. And one of the ones I think is really cool is the electric utility system. He invented that electricity, right? But as a small child, Thomas Edison, came home from school and gave a paper to his mother. And he said, "Mom, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me only you are to read it. What does it say?" And Thomas Edison's eyes welled up, his mom's eyes welled up with tears, and she read the letter out loud back to Thomas. And it says this: "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have good enough teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself." But many years later, after Thomas Edison's mother had died, he became one of the greatest inventors of the century. And when he was going through all of her stuff in a closet, he found this old letter, that same letter that from his old teacher. He opened it, and this is what he found as he read the message that was originally written on the letter. "Your son is mentally deficient. He cannot, and we cannot, let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." And Edison would later write in his diary, "Thomas A. Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into some genius of the 20th century, the genius of the century." So his mom was able to do that. What people saw in Thomas Edison was a broken kid. She saw him and conceived this idea that you could be more than your handicap. She birthed that in him. Only a mom can do that. Only a mom can do that. A woman's ability to conceive and become another person's ability to bring that out on them, it's only something God has blessed a woman with. It's an amazing thing. So what is God conceiving you this morning? What is he conceiving and wants you to bring an idea or speak into someone? Maybe they need life. What are you doing there? Because you're not defined by your brokenness. You're not defined by that. You're defined by who you are in Christ. The second point thing is this, is that it's one thing to conceive something in your heart, right? But it's another thing to push it into reality, to bring it into existence. So what does it mean for birth? What does birth mean? Well, birth is simply this, is to bring forth. Birth is to bring forth. Birth is a violent and a painful act. I'm the father of two kids, two adult children now, excuse me. One who just graduated this past weekend, college. But I know this, my wife Melanie is my hero. She's giving birth, it's a violent and painful thing. And it's the sheer force of her will and determination and your will that enables women and only women to accomplish this. That women are built to endure. They're made to endure. They're designed to persevere because you are to bring forth new things into the earth. And that's how God sees you. And you're just amazing. That's a gift that he's given each woman here. So we think about this and congratulate. If you ran in the Pittsburgh Marathon at any different level, relay, half mile, full, could you raise your hand? Come on, don't be shy. Thank you. Congratulations to your accomplishments in running that. But if you've ever watched a marathon, and I watched my son run cross country for years, and I watched Melanie run as well, you've noticed that the hardest part isn't necessarily the beginning, and it's not the finish line, but what is it? The hardest part is in the middle. The hardest part is that middle. It's the place where your energy is low, your legs feel heavy, your mind becomes foggy, and you begin to have stinking thinking. And the only thing that matters is trying to get to that finish line. That's what matters. And so that's what matters most to the people who don't want to quit, is they can push through and power through when they're going through the pain and agony. It's in the middle. And that's where mothers shine. They push through in that middle. And for them, that it's the push through that pain because they've already decided in their hearts and in their minds, they've settled in their spirit that the finish line matters more than discomfort. That's how mothers think and that's how mothers function. I've seen it in my own mother. I've seen it in my wife and my mother-in-law. And I've seen it in a lot of you, that you continue to push through and go through your struggles and you continue to shine and persevere and let the light of Christ come out of you. It's amazing to me. And so that's what birthing is like. It's spiritually doing the same thing. It's some of you are doing this. Some of you are tired right now. Jess talked about at our morning huddle, don't say just happy Mother's Day, good to see you, but look at the lady. Realize that her eyes are tired. She's tired and she's gone through a lot. Show some empathy and you know, solidarity in that. But it's having that understanding that women, you're birthing something spiritually into others. Isn't that amazing? You're birthing something spiritually into others right now. And some of you are tired. Some of you are drained. Some of you are just at your, you know, at your end. But I want to encourage you to keep going because you know it's worth it. You know it's worth it at the end, right? You know it's worth it. There's something on the other side of your perseverance that God wants to use in you and wants to use in the world. And so he wants you to birth that forward, whatever that is, that idea, that thought, your life, to let the Holy Spirit use you, right? In John 16, 21, it says this. A woman, this is Jesus. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But her baby is born, and she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And I'm speaking in ignorance. I'm a man. I had experience with my wife, and I know I saw the pain. I can't imagine the pain, but I do remember the joy that I saw on Melanie's face when the birth of Luke and Emma. I remember that. I remember that like that. And then there's that joy that comes, and then all that pain is worth it. I can't imagine the pain. Men are sissies compared to women. They simply are. Am I right, Chuck? I'm right, right? Yes. But God is calling you to do this. This is what God's calling you to do. He's calling you to push on, to press on, to press through whatever you're going through because it's bringing forth something in your life that others need. That might be your kids. It might be your spouse. It might be your coworkers. It could be someone in this church or a stranger. But God is asking you to press through, to continue to move on in your life. Don't just conceive that idea, dream it, have a strategy, have a plan. How are you going to accomplish this idea? And then listen, bring it forth, get after it, go after it, make it happen. And I like how Jesus says in John 16, he says, your time has come. I like that sentence, or that phrase. You know, your time has come maybe this morning to start that new business, to start that family, to write that book, to start a healing journey, to ask for forgiveness, to start forgetting and moving forward. Maybe it's to move forward and letting go of your past and let that define who you are. Maybe today is your day to start doing that. Like John 16, 21 says this, no woman remembers the pain of birth after the child has been delivered because of the joy. And my hope and prayer, ladies, is that as when you're going through your tough times, your difficulties, your pain, that you will find the joy of the Lord. Amen. That's my hope and prayer. God's kingdom, listen to this. God's kingdom is waiting for the daughters of the King to conceive and give birth to newness and life into the world. Only you can do that. And so here's the thing. Because there was a miracle doesn't stop at birth, that's where the real investment begins. That's what happens in our life. There's this call to nurture and nourish, in others. So the woman has a capacity and emotional bandwidth to deal and care for a completely dependent, emotionally undeveloped, physically demanding being, and it's just dealing with her husband or me, you know, like it's, but here's the thing, factoring also that she has the ability to nurture and raise offspring. That's amazing. You're talking about the greatest resource on planet Earth. Men need only that we're so underdeveloped. We need women in our lives. But it's amazing what God has called women to do and who they are. No one can nurture like a woman. No one can. And so women, you have this unique power. Amen is right. You have the unique power and ability to nourish others. You can nourish others more than most men can, right? Women can bring out the best in others. I've seen it. Women can bring out the best in others. If you haven't seen this movie, it's probably time you have. Rocky II. Who's seen Rocky II? Okay. There's going to be some spoiler alerts. I'm just letting you know. Rocky II is an amazing movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And in there, this is the story of Rocky Balboa and Adrian Balboa. They're married, and they're having a baby, and the baby is born, and she goes into a coma. And Rocky is a boxer, and he's about ready to fight the world champion Apollo Creed. And he's going into training, but something happens to his wife, and it messes his world up. And as his wife's in the coma, he's not even going to see the sun yet. He's waiting for Adrian to come around. He's at the hospital with his trainer, Mickey. Right, Burgess Meredith, and he's there with him. And then finally, Adrian Balboa comes too, and she's holding their son, and Rocky goes up to her and goes, listen, if you don't want me to mix it up with Creed anymore, and I'll find a way to make a life for us. And she said, come here. Adrian says this to Rocky, come here. And Rocky leans in, and he like touches his son, and she says to him simply, win. And the ding goes on for going the distance, and she says, come here. Win. And it goes ding, and it breaks off into that like the awesome epic music of called Going the Distance. Download it. It's amazing, right? It goes into this montage of him training. Then he goes on and defeats Apollo Creed. But Rocky couldn't be Rocky until he had his approval and this nourishment that came through his wife, Adrian. So she could not do that, right? So women have this ability to speak into the significance of another, to their child, to their friend, that's unrivaled. Rocky didn't become Rocky until Adrian spoke life into him, encouraged him to go out and win. I get goosebumps every time I think about that clip. It's an amazing clip. And so here's the question I have to ask you this morning. What are you nourishing? What are you nourishing, right? The same thing that women can speak life and nourish in others at the same time, some of us can relate to that. Women can also speak that kind of thing that kind of brings about a difficulty in someone's life. When you don't have the support maybe of your mom or you don't have the support of your wife, right? There could be a venom that harms and kills, but most of the time it's this milk and honey that sustains and uplifts and builds us up and strengthens the soul. That's what women are called to do. So I believe this, behind every great achievement is a great woman. But the converse is also true. Behind every calamity or decay, there could be a woman that has just spoken life and bitterness into that. Or a man who has also done the same thing. And so here's the thing. I want to encourage you. There's blessing or belittling. We can do this. We can choose this with our attitudes. We can bless others or belittle them. We can pull people up and speak life into them, or we can push people down to the ground and kick them and criticize them and just pour all kinds of hate on them. We could cheer someone on, or we could chastise them. But a woman, women have the ability to nurture and nourish the best in others. And so I want to encourage you, men, listen, that's what we're called to do too, that we fall short of that. And so one of the best scripture verses that, in my opinion, that describes how a biblical picture, a biblical snapshot of how God sees women is Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 says this, and I've heard it said this, that sometimes Proverbs 31 is like too lofty to achieve. But I think God has given you that Holy Spirit and those abilities to go forth and make these things happen. But the writer of Proverbs 31 says this, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And her children will rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, he praises her. In verse 29, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's someone who adores his wife, right? He looks at his wife that way. But here's the reality. That's how God looks at you this morning. I want you to know that you surpass them out. He's created you with a purpose. He's created you with the ability to do amazing things. I want to encourage you this, is that you know, what this woman in Proverbs 31 does is that she gives others the ability to produce and harvest what they don't think they could, right? She pours out her blessing on them, and they're able to do the things that they never could. I want to encourage you this morning to speak life, to speak life. There's so much hate in this world, it's disgusting. That women are leading the charge on this. That they're speaking life into others, that the harvest is plentiful for them. And as women are these great encouragers, I just want to encourage you to do that in all areas of your life, in your family, with your spouse, at work, whatever that is, speak life. And that's what the Proverbs 31 woman does, that you can do this. You have the abilities to do this. Speak life into others. So here's my conclusion as we wrap this up. What are you conceiving this morning? What ideas or strategies or hopes or dreams has God placed in your heart that he wants you to develop and form and to get after? Maybe there's that thing there. I want to encourage you this morning. This is my encouragement to you. Pursue that thing that you're conceiving in your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit has dropped something in there and he wants you to continue to go forth. What are you birthing? What are you birthing? What are you leveraging your spiritual and natural abilities to bring forth life into this world? Maybe there's a ministry. Maybe there's a someone that just needs you to speak life into their lives. Maybe that's just that simple, being kind. And what are you nurturing and nourishing? What are you doing? How are you doing that? What is the fruit of your investment? Are you determined to just make things happen? Is you've got to nourish it. Think of a garden. Think of, you know, you have to nourish that garden to make it grow fruit or vegetables. So it takes your caring. It takes your cultivation. It takes your time and investment, and it takes your love and kindness to do that. That comes from God, and God has poured that into you. And we're so thankful, ladies, that you do that and you demonstrate that so well to us time and time again. And so my hope on this Mother's Day that you will feel not like a failure, but a daughter of the Most High. That you wouldn't feel discouraged by what happened in your past, because I want to encourage you this morning, let that go. That doesn't define you. God wants you to move forward in your faith. He wants you to find healing. He wants you to offer that forgiveness to whatever that person is that might need it. And here's the thing, he wants you to cultivate and speak life in the world that desperately needs it. You can do this. This is something that you can do. So I want to encourage you to stand, all of us to stand right now. And I just want to pray a blessing over you. That I pray that today, as we bow your heads and close your eyes, Lord, I just pray for all the women in the room, that each one has a story, that each one has a past, and each one has a present and a future, Lord. I just pray that they would not get caught up or let those things that maybe if they're negative or bad, that they would define them. But they would hear your scriptures and hear these words and the things we sung about, that they would see them in the light of scripture, that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes and renew them and give them a new, fresh revelation of who they are and what they're called to do. Father, I pray for the men in the room to be men, to lead in such a way that it's encouraging and supportive to women. Help us to be the men we're called to be. Thank you for the Proverbs 31 women in the room. Thank you for the ladies that are going the extra mile, that are speaking life, that make things happen. Father, I pray for those that are struggling, that are struggling with childbirth. I pray for that you'd bring, as Aaron talked about, the babies would come forth through that. I pray that, Lord, you would restore hopes and bring about healing. I pray that, Lord, relationships in the past or the future, Lord, that you would bring about healing. And so, Father, I pray this morning, I pray that a blessing upon each one here, Lord, that we would take away, that we can birth something, we can bring forth this idea, that we can conceive that idea and birth it and then nurture it into something that you've called us to do. We don't have to just let other people do it, but we can actively participate now. So, Father, I just pray that you bless each woman today, that they would feel your love, that they would feel that they are daughters of the King. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.